If all our government and president can do is send thoughts and prayers, then it's time for victims to be the change that we need to see.
The NRA bankrolling us has turned our country into a war zone. You can either fix this nightmare or write your concession speeches.
Vote them out! Vote them out! Vote them out!
Cowboys are frequently, secretly fond of each other.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Kenya's challenged the country's unnatural sex law. The British Parliament targets Northern Ireland's marriage equality logjam. And queer youth take aim at pro-gun lawmakers. Those stories and more this week because you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Michelle Yater.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending February 24th, 2018. Kenya's High Court began hearing a case this week that challenges the East African country's criminalization of private, consensual, adult same-gender sex. The British colonial-era law, which came into effect in 1897, punishes sexual relations against the order of nature, with up to 14 years in prison. The country's National Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission argues in their petition that the law violates Kenya's constitution. The group's executive director, Eric Gitari, charged in a media release that the law is used by police officers and common thugs to justify violence against LGBTQ people. According to the Associated Press, activist J. Arap Salat told the court that the case is just about love. We are out here, we are love, we just want love and to love each other. Kenyan lawmaker Irungu Kangata, defending the law, called same-gender sexual attraction a lifestyle choice. Apparently not seeing the irony in his support for the British colonial-era law, he claimed that repealing it would be a form of Western colonization. They want to demean Africans, he said. They want to demean us Kenyans. It's not clear just when the court will issue its ruling.
There was new hope this week for lesbian and gay couples in Northern Ireland who are itching to tie the knot. It's the last major holdout in the UK without marriage equality. That issue has been the major obstacle to the Majority Democratic Unionist Party, or DUP, and the minority Sinn Féin Party being able to form a functioning government. Sinn Féin is in favor of opening civil marriage to same-gender couples. The DUP is adamantly opposed. Northern Ireland-born Labour MP Conor McGinn announced this week that he would table a private member's bill in Britain's House of Commons at the end of March to resolve the problem. LGBT couples in Northern Ireland should not be made to wait a moment longer for their basic rights, he said. Sinn Féin signaled its tentative support for the move, although a spokesperson said the party would have preferred the issue to be resolved by the Northern Ireland Assembly. Patrick Corrigan of the Northern Ireland coalition group Love Equality applauded McGinn's initiative and said his partner groups, led by the Rainbow Project, Amnesty International, and the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, would work with the MP to prepare the bill and steer it to passage. Both he and McGinn are optimistic about success, though Corrigan said he wished that the British government would have introduced a Northern Ireland marriage equality bill rather than going through the private members' bill process. In any case, he added, we now look to Parliament to uphold the rights of people in Northern Ireland and to respond to overwhelming public support here.
Activists in Taiwan are not letting up in their campaign for marriage equality. The island's constitutional court ruled in 2017 that denying civil marriage to same-gender couples was unconstitutional. But the justices gave lawmakers 2 years to enact the marriage equality bill. It's been 9 months since that ruling, and LGBT activists are unhappy that the government's executive branch has yet to propose the appropriate legislation. A coalition of advocacy groups has paid for huge billboards directly across the street from the executive branch offices. They show two women who are each holding a baby. We are both mothers of the children, the caption reads. How long do we have to wait for equal rights to marry? Christian evangelicals, under the umbrella name of the Alliance of Taiwan Religious Groups for the Protection of the Family, have also stepped up their opposition to marriage equality. They submitted a challenge to the Constitutional Court's ruling in Taiwan High Administrative Court on Valentine's Day, arguing that the advent of marriage equality will deprive them of their free speech and religious rights. In their legal filings, they asked the High Administrative Court to have the conscience and moral integrity to rule on our appeal through their own independent stance and not to cave in to political influence and forces of intimidation. In a separate action, they filed a petition with the Central Election Commission to hold a public referendum on the issue.
The rights of transgender people have been advancing in Pakistan. It's one of the few countries in the world to allow a third gender designation on passports and national ID cards, although some young Pakistani transgender people might think twice about choosing that option. We'll explain in a moment. The government recently began counting transgender people in the census. And last week, 40 young transgender people took the Boy Scouts oath in Karachi, the first time the Pakistan Boy Scouts Association has opened its ranks to transgender members. The group, which claims 1 million members across the country, is open to both genders in Pakistan, so trans women are also welcomed to take the Boy Scouts oath. An association spokesperson pointed out that transgender people are also youth, and we don't discriminate on the basis of gender. Many of the new trans recruits are being nominated to take on the prestigious role of volunteers at the annual Hajj pilgrimage. If they can afford it and are physically able, all Muslims must do the pilgrimage to the holy site at Mecca at least once in their lifetime.
All volunteers undergo physical and medical tests. The Pakistan Boy Scouts Association then sends a list of successful candidates to the Federal Ministry of Religious Affairs and Interfaith Harmony for approval. Blue Veins, a Pakistani group that works closely with the trans community, is helping recruit some of the pilgrimage volunteers. Program coordinator Kamar Nasim said that trans pilgrimage volunteers can be a game changer and can significantly improve the social acceptance of transgender youth in our society. And now, the reason those volunteers might not want to choose the third gender option on their national ID cards or passports. Mecca is in Saudi Arabia, and the government application form to complete the Hajj only has two gender options. An official at Saudi Arabia's embassy in Karachi told the Express Tribune that it does not matter whether or not the applicant is a transgender, but the passport that is presented must mention the gender as either male or female. This year's Hajj takes place from August 19th to 24th.
Four of the 15 out LGBT athletes at the 2018 Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang, South Korea, have won a combined 7 medals so far, according to the latest count by Outsports.com. Speed skater Brittany Bowe won bronze with her U.S. teammates in team pursuit this week. Dutch speed skater Irene Woest won her record-shattering 11th medal when her team took the silver. U.S. queer fan favorite Gus Kenworthy gave it his all, battling a broken thumb and an injured hip to finish 12th in the slopestyle freeskiing final. But he made history of another sort when his kiss for good luck before a qualifying round with boyfriend Matt Wilkus was carried live on NBC, much to the delight of LGBTQ people everywhere. The network described Wilkus as Kenworthy's boyfriend and included multiple shots during the broadcast of Kenworthy's mother surrounded by rainbow flags. This year marks the first time that out gay men have represented the U.S. at the Games. Kenworthy and Wilkus cheered on American figure skater Adam Rippon earlier this week as he waved a rainbow-striped American flag that Wilkus had bought in West Hollywood. Rippon finished a disappointing 10th in the single skate, but will leave the Games with the team figure skating bronze he won as part of Team USA. After an entertaining guest commentator appearance, NBC offered him a lucrative job to continue in that role for the rest of the Olympics. But he turned it down because it would have required him to leave the Olympic Village. I love being on Team USA and representing our country, he tweeted. My teammates were there for me during my events, and now I need to be there for them.
And finally, Rippon, America's new gay sweetheart, received a matchmaking proposal from one-time Flying Nun and Norma Rae, Oscar-winning actress Sally Field. One of the world's best PFLAG moms embarrassed her openly gay son, 30-year-old director Sam Greisman, by noting in text messages that he had a crush on the skater and suggested that they meet, adding that she would like to see Adam in the family. The message exchanges went viral, hinting that a major gay power couple could be in the offing. It prompted Greisman to tweet, "Yikes!" and apologize to Rippon for the awkward situation. Rippon took it all in stride, however. "Sam, your mom, I admire her," he wrote, "and I'm sure one day we're going to meet. So thanks, Mom."
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending February 24th, 2018. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Michelle Yater.
And I'm John Dyer V.
Later in the program,
Willie Nelson's cowboy song with a twist on the Rainbow Minute.
But first,
you feel like a candle in a hurricane, just like a picture with a broken frame, alone and helpless, like you've lost your fight. But you'll be alright, you'll be alright, 'cause when push comes to shove, you taste what you're made of. You might bend till you break, 'cause it's all you can take. On your knees you look up, decide you've had enough. You get mad, you get strong, wipe your hair, shake it off, then you stand.
It should be no surprise that as a young people's movement against gun violence sweeps across the U.S., queer youth are at the forefront. In the wake of the Valentine's Day massacre at Parkland, Florida's Stoneman Douglas High School, the awe-inspiring activism of the student survivors has wasted no time getting into the faces of lawmakers from the State House to the White House. One of the most talked-about speeches at a rally in front of the federal courthouse in Fort Lauderdale just 3 days after the mass shooting was given by the bi-identified president of the high school's Gay-Straight Alliance, Emma Gonzalez.
Every single person up here today, all these people should be at home grieving. But instead, we are up here, standing together, because if all our government and president can do is send thoughts and prayers, then it's time for victims to be the change that we need to see. Since the time of the Founding Fathers and since they added the Second Amendment to the Constitution, our guns have developed at a rate that leaves me dizzy. The guns have changed and the laws have not. We certainly do not understand why it should be harder to make plans with friends on weekends than it is to buy an automatic or semi-automatic weapon. In Florida, to buy a gun, you do not need a permit, you do not need a gun license, and once you buy it, you do not need to register it. You do not need a permit to carry a concealed rifle or shotgun. You can buy as many guns as you want at one time. We are going to be the last mass shooting. We are going to change the law. That's going to be Marjorie Stoneman Douglas in that textbook, and it's all going to be due to the tireless effort of the school board, the faculty members, the family members, and most importantly, the students. The students who are dead, the students still in the hospital, the students who are now suffering from PTSD, the students who had panic attacks during the vigil because the helicopters who wouldn't leave us alone, hovering over the school 24 hours a day. There has been one tweet that I would like to call attention to. So many signs that the Florida shooter was mentally disturbed, even expelled for bad and erratic behavior. Neighbors and classmates knew he was a big problem, must always report such instances to authorities again and again. We did, time and time again. Since he was in middle school, it was no surprise to anyone who knew him to hear that he was the shooter. Those talking about how we should have
not ostracized him? You didn't know this kid! Okay, we did! We know that they're claiming that there are mental health issues, and I am not a psychologist, but we need to pay attention to the fact that this isn't just a mental health issue. He wouldn't have harmed that many students with a knife! How about we stop blaming the victims for something that was the shooter's fault? The fault of the people who let him buy the guns in the first place, those at the gun shows, the people who encouraged him to buy accessories for his guns to make them fully automatic, the people who didn't take them away from him when they knew that he expressed homicidal tendencies. And I am not talking about the FBI. I am talking about the people that he lived with. I'm talking about the neighbors who saw him outside holding guns. If the president wants to come up to me and tell me to my face that it was a terrible tragedy and how it should never have happened and maintain telling us how nothing is going to be done about it, I'm going to happily ask him how much money he received from the National Rifle Association. In the 1.5 months in 2018 alone, that comes out to being $5,800. Is that how much these people are worth to you, Trump? If you don't do anything to prevent this from continuing to occur, that number of gunshot victims will go up, and the number that they are worth will go down. And we will be worthless to you. To every politician who is taking donations from the NRA, shame on you.
That was Stoneman Douglas High School Gay Straight Alliance President Emma Gonzalez, whose recently opened Twitter account already has twice as many followers as the NRA. Gonzalez's nightmare was deja vu for Brandon Wolf, a survivor of the 2016 mass shooting at Orlando, Florida's LGBT Pulse nightclub. Wolf spoke to supporters of an assault rifle ban outside of the State House of Representatives after the legislators refused to take up the measure.
On June 12, 2016, I was in a bathroom stall at Pulse Nightclub. The smell of blood and smoke was burning my nose. I listened to gunshot after gunshot, and I prayed that I would see my family again. The gun used that night was a Sig Sauer MCX. It's called the Next Generation AR-15. And it has become synonymous with mass shootings in this country. It fired 30 rounds in 1 minute. 13 of them killed my best friends, Drew and Juan. In the days and weeks that followed Pulse, I told myself we would be the last. I vowed that Drew and Juan's deaths would not be in vain. I screamed, never again. I begged for action. I pleaded on national television. But just like every group before me, I was met with silence and apathy. So today, I'm here to ask our lawmakers a few questions. After first graders were gunned down at Sandy Hook, what did you do?
Nothing!
Not a damn thing. You ran back to your gun-free spaces in Washington, D.C. and hid under your desks until CNN stopped talking about it. After 49 people, including my two brothers, were murdered at Pulse, what did you do?
Nothing!
Not a damn thing.
Nothing.
You plugged your ears and turned your eyes and hoped that we would stop talking.
No, we won't!
And now we're here again. 17 people are dead. 14 of them are children.
14 too many.
And what did you do yesterday when given the chance to
Nothing.
Do something about it?
Nothing.
Not a damn thing. Instead, you avoided eye contact once more with these incredible students and you voted not to keep them safe. You sent thoughts and prayers as your remedy, but refused to take action.
Not enough.
Well, members of the legislature, I am proud to announce I took your advice. I have been praying. I have been praying for you. I pray that you look in the mirror and figure out your priorities. I pray that you sign the No NRA Money Pledge. And should you continue to choose your wallets over our lives, I pray you enjoy retirement. Because we will vote you out. My friends, the choice for our Republican legislators is very clear. Either do your jobs or get the hell out of our way. We victims and survivors are done negotiating with you. Americans are done dying for you. And our children are done being your sacrifices. The NRA bankrolling us has turned our country into a war zone. You can either fix this nightmare or write your concession speeches.
Cause when push comes to shove, you taste what you're made of. You might bend till you break, cause it's all you can take. On your knees you look up, decide you've had enough. You get mad, you get strong, wipe your hair, shake it off, then you stand.
Pulse massacre survivor Brandon Wolf rallied with thousands of gun control advocates in front of the Florida House of Representatives in Tallahassee, Florida on February 21st.
Hello, I'm Randall Kleiser, director of Grease, Blue Lagoon, White Fang, and It's My Party, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international radio show for all our sexually diverse communities.
Back when Brokeback Mountain was big, another cowboy lent a hand.
Willie Nelson's Cowboy Song with a Twist, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. Country music singer Willie Nelson has sung about cowboys since the 1970s, but on Valentine's Day 2006, he debuted his song about love between men on the range called Cowboys Are Frequently Secretly Fond of Each Other. Written by Texas-born singer-songwriter Ned Sublette in 1981, Mr. Nelson thought the time was right to release it since the movie Brokeback Mountain had recently been a huge hit. The song showed Mr. Nelson's support for gays to his conservative country music fans, but it meant much more to his friend and manager for three decades, David Anderson. He had recently come out to Mr. Nelson and felt that the song was Mr. Nelson's way of telling a longtime pal that everything was okay. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Will Armstrong.
Many a strange impulse out on the plains of West Texas. There's many a young boy who feels things he can't comprehend. And a small town don't like it when somebody falls between the sexes. No, a small town don't like it when a cowboy has feelings for men. And I believe to my soul that inside every man there's the feminine. And inside every lady there's a deep manly voice loud and clear. Well, the cowboy may brag about things that he's done with his women, but the ones that brag loudest are the ones that are most likely queer. Cowboys frequently, secretly fond of each other. Say, what do you think all them saddles and boots was about? And there's many a cowboy who don't understand the way that he feels for his brother. And inside every cowboy there's a lady that'd love to slip out. Somebody who says what the others just whisper, and mostly that someone's the first one to get shot down dead. So when you talk to a cowboy, don't treat him like he was a sister. You can't fuck with a lady that's sleeping in each cowboy's head. Cowboys are frequently, secretly fond of each other. What did you think all them saddles and boots was about? And there's many a cowboy who don't understand the way that he feels for his brother. And inside every lady there's a cowboy who wants to come out. And inside every cowboy, there's a lady that'd love to slip out.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Program material this week came from Michelle Yater and John Leiter V, with thanks to Steve Pride, and from Will Armstrong, produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns. Rascal Flatts and Willie Nelson performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our individual listener donors, who make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google+. Smile at Overnight Productions on Amazon. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KPOV Bend, Oregon, 5PBA Salisbury, South Australia, Radio Veronica, West Point, Pennsylvania, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.